Now, if we go to Genesis 1, 26 through 27, listen to this. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. So it goes from describing God here up at the top in plural form, and then down he starts referencing himself in singular. So this right here is even more to support his three persons in one, because it says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Truth Rising was made possible thanks to the Kimberly Tower Foundation. The KTF is a united force devoted to uplifting and empowering women and children. Through their efforts, they kindle a sense of belonging, spur personal growth, and create an enduring legacy of impact. To learn more, please see the show notes and look into the ktf4love.org. This podcast is sponsored by Costello's Butcher Shop Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses, located in Pensacola, Florida. Costello's offers Wagyu, a deli, just all the things. Also, if you're a child, 7 days a week, you can walk into Costello's and get yourself a free sack lunch. That's right, I said free. I think we've hit 130,000 so far. So go in, let them know Truth Rising sent you, and you will be so glad you did. Ladies, it's time. It's time we get back to the basics. It's time we get back to God's design for our lives. It's time we drink from the living water. So meet us at the well. It's not too late. He's waiting. Hey, Truth Rising, it is Tiffany. I'm here today to do the next episode of our series, Truth or Counterfeit. Today, we're going to be discussing the Trinity. I know that word that's not in the Bible, but we're going to dive into all the things, and I'm going to do my very best to dive into this. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because you may come across or think to yourself, or someone tries to present to you by saying maybe examples include Holy Spirit is a force, not a person, that they're not a Trinitarian. So why are you? Well, you should probably have an answer to that, that Jesus is not God, which I'm going to go more into in the next episode, that there's a Father, and then there's Jesus and Satan who are brothers or something. You get the picture. If something like this was to come across, would you be able to go into the Word of God and show as to why it is you believe what you believe, which is that we have a triune God? So let's do our best here. I'm talking like I'm plural form. I'm not. That was a funny Trinity joke to me, probably not to you listening. Anyways, either way, y'all, we're never going to be able to perfectly or fully understand this, okay? That's just not going to happen. However, we can dive into scripture, and there's a lot here that tells us what's going on. But as to the why, well, we may not understand that. And we'll get to that at the very end. We'll read in Romans why that is, okay? Because, well, we're not God. However, I think that scripture has done a great job in leading me to the conclusion that yes, we do have a triune God, and this is why. And let me break that down to you. All right, so the word Trinity is not found in scripture, like we said. It was created in a sense to help attempt to describe the triune God that we have. And triune just means three in one. That's the definition of it. So our God is three persons in one, not three forces or whatever the case may be. It's three persons in one. Okay. Now this is going to first begin. We're going to look at Genesis 1:1, where you're going to see the word Elohim used there for God. Now Elohim is used about 2,500 times in the Tanakh, which is like a portion of the Old Testament. Elohim is a Hebrew name for God, but it's the plural form. Isn't that crazy? So Elohim is a plural form. So why would we be using a plural form other than because we have one God, three persons? Now, the Hebrew symbol, if you don't have this already, and if you can afford to get one, get yourself an interlinear, either ESV or CSB Bible. What it does is it takes the Hebrew, it shows you the symbol, and then gives you the word. And then they have them for Greek as well. into English. So for the New Testament. So I would really strongly get one because I encourage you to get one because this was really awesome. I opened up my interlinear and the symbol for Elohim, you can see it there. It does say God, but yet it's the symbol for Elohim, which is the plural form of God. Okay, hold on. So if you're going to like, so is Tiffany trying to say this is a polytheistic view? No, not at all. And polytheism just is the belief that there are many gods. Because we know, according to Deuteronomy 6:4, that it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." It tells us right there in scripture that God, it's one. And James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." So this is all coming back to there is only one God, but three persons in one. And scripture supports this as a monotheistic view, the belief in one true God. Is that that's what monotheism means. But if we move on to Genesis 1, 26 through 27, this is where it starts getting really cool as you dive through scripture. So you see that back in Genesis 1, 1, that's the first use of Elohim. Now, if we go to Genesis 1, 26 through 27, and I'm reading in my Bible here, so you're going to hear me flipping around a lot. Listen to this. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have." And then it goes on. And then if you drop down to 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." So it goes from describing God here up at the top in plural form, and then down he starts referencing himself in singular. So this right here is even more to support his three persons in one, because it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And then down here in 27, it said, "So God created man in his own image." So do you see that? Isn't that awesome? Right here goes in to just provide that further support of God's triune nature. Okay. So then if we go on to Genesis 18, well, this is just kind of a neat little part in here. Let's start back at 16. "Then the men set out from there and they looked down and toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way." Here we go. This is where it gets interesting. Verse 17, "The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Okay, and it goes on, and he's having, who's he talking to? Right here. He's having a conversation. It's not Abraham, because he's asking if he should tell Abraham. So that's something else to support here. Like, what? Who are you talking to, God? What's going on? All right, so then if you go to Matthew 28, this is going to be another big one. Matthew 28, verse 19. So again, if you're new to the whole Bible thing, I should have told you this in the beginning. Matthew is going to be a book of the Bible. You can go to the front. There's 66 books listed. It'll be found in the New Testament. And then you can go to chapter 28, which is the big number, verse 19, which is going to be the little number. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So right here, it goes from, again, that plural to that singular, but it recognizes all three persons as one here. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." That is awesome, y'all. That right there recognizes them all as one. So then moving on, let's go to John 10:30. Here it says, and this is Jesus talking, it, verse 30, it says, "I and the Father are one." So here it even says, Jesus is declaring that he and the Father are one. So I said this back in the Christmas Emmanuel episode, but what do dogs produce? Dogs. What do cats produce? Cats. What does humans produce? Humans. What does God produce? God. So right here, and we're going to dive more into that in the next episode, is Jesus God, or why are we referring to him basically as the Son of God or the Son of Man? But right here, it declares by in scripture right here, it says, "I and the Father are one." So he is tying himself to the Father as one. Okay. And we know again, back in Deuteronomy, the Lord is one. Okay. So continuing on, we're seeing a pattern here. Now let's kind of look at the Holy Spirit a little bit more, because the Holy Spirit is not a force. It's not an it. It's none of those things. The Holy Spirit is a he. And we start in Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. Okay, so here it says that's like it references him as a himself, right? And then we go to John 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Wait, I'm sorry. This lettering is super duper small. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Right there, it's referred to it. I just did it. He is referred to as a he. And then let's see the last part. Is the Holy Spirit God? Well, according to Acts 5, but a man named Ananias and his wife, Sapphira, I don't know, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. It just said the Holy Spirit is God. Because back, if you go back up to verse 3, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So it says here that Satan told him to lie to the Holy Spirit. And then down here, he's like, you didn't lie to man, you lied to God. So right here, it's identifying the Holy Spirit as God. Whoa, that's awesome. Love it. Okay, so basically in the end, because I'm trying to keep these short, you could go into this so much more. Hopefully this gets you kind of a jump start and is a little catalyst into diving in yourself to the scriptures and seeing what it says. And ultimately, y'all, every single time this draws us closer to God. It's amazing at what happens when we do this, when we go on these journeys in the Word of God. But we can only try to do our very best, especially with something as difficult as this, because ultimately, again, we can't really even attempt to describe this perfectly or to like a place where you can say, I fully understand it. I got it. No, we can do our best. We can use these descriptions of like the apple and the egg and like the ice, but those are just kind of very rough pictures. Like even ice, for example, ice, water, and what was the other one? Snow. Those are forms. It's not a person. So while you are trying to create this, it's not the easiest way to do. I think my husband, he gave one of the best examples to our daughter because she had these great questions as well. And it was, I'm going to mess this up. He put it as our body, our spirit, and our mind. We have all three of those parts. And they can't, like, that's what makes us one, right? But again, these are just rough ideas because Romans 11, 33 through 34, it says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been his counselor? Right here, y'all, it is telling us there are going to be things we're not going to know because we're not God. So you have to understand that there's going to be times when we may not have full understanding of it, but we can still pray and ask God to help us find peace in it. Let us get as best of an understanding as we can. Let scripture do what scripture does, right? It is living. It is active. It is the word of God. It is breathed out by God for us. What a gift. And we are able to use this gift to search and learn more about God and ultimately draw closer to God in relationship, because that's what it all boils down to, is your relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't have that, by the way, none of this will even come to make sense, because you need the Holy Spirit as your helper, as it describes here. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to read these scriptures and to learn more about God. And until you get to that point, you're only going to know so much. So I hope that curiosity takes over you. And I hope you go and you talk to God about this and read what he says. All right. Well, till the next episode, y'all. God bless. Talk to you soon.
At Truth Rising, we believe prayer is powerful. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make his face shine upon you. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it, and you may be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. May Christ make his home in your heart through faith. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. And may you be filled with joy. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.